Okay, it's 2:15. It's 2:15, and it's time to get started on Shiur number 2 on Zimun. Welcome, Lori. Hope all is well, and hope everybody's doing well. And Bakasha, let's get started.
Thank you so much. So good to be here again. I appreciate everybody coming out. Want to do a quick recap on what we did last time, and then really get into things, right? So we last time we talked about, first, we started off by talking about Birkat HaMazon. We saw that it's a bracha mandated by the Torah. It might be the only bracha mandated by the Torah, depending on your view of Birchot HaTorah that are said in the morning. It's a bracha. We talked about how it's a bracha that's not really just about food. It's a bracha that's fundamentally tied into the arts, into the land, into God's gift of the land that comes out in the pasuk itself. You're going to eat, you're going to be sated, and you're going to thank God for the land that he has given you. And that becomes very important in the discussion of women's obligation, Birkat HaMazon. We saw that there are a few different sugyas in the Gemara, which strongly suggest, if not saying straight out, that women are fully obligated on a Torah level in Birkat HaMazon. And there's one point in the Gemara where a question is asked, well, is women's obligation biblical and rabbinic? And that kind of opens up the floodgates in the Rishonim. And even there, many of the early halachic authorities, including Ritva, Rashba, say that women are obligated on a Torah level in Birkat HaMazon. And yet, the Rambam, the Rosh, leave it as a matter of question. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's Drabanan. For that reason, the Shulchan Aruch, who generally goes with two of the three, Rosh, Rambam, and Rif, goes with two of the three. And he says, women's obligation in Birkat HaMazon on a Torah level is a matter of doubt. Certainly women are obligated in Birkat HaMazon. It's a question of what level. That's very relevant for the question of a woman discharging a man's obligation in Birkat HaMazon. And again, the reasons that are given for why that might be, which are not simple, is Rashi suggesting it has to do with the land. Women aren't initially given portions in the land. Even Benot Slofchad got their father's portions. Tosfot suggests maybe the idea has to do with saying the words Brit and Arntz in Birkat HaMazon. But at the end of the day, we have this question about the level of women's obligation. Why is that important for Zimun? Because as we saw last time, the kind of ideal of Zimun is going to be that the Mezamen, the person leading Zimun, or if a woman's leading, we'll be talking about that today, Bezrat Hashem. If a woman's leading, we'd call her Mezamenet. If a person is leading Zimun, ideally they're really supposed to be discharging the obligation of other parties. So, okay, nowadays we don't have great intentionality. We lose track. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to follow. So for those reasons and more, generally speaking, we're only really careful about the first bracha. But even so, that's really supposed to be part of what the Mezamen does. So one's view on whether women are obligated on a Torah level or whether women's level of obligation is a question is going to affect your view of for whom a woman could potentially lead Zimun. Okay, now back to the issue of what is Zimun. We saw with Birkat HaMazon that we kind of defined it as a bracha that said after a meal that began with someone saying Birkat HaMotzi. And we also spent a little time exploring the Talmudic and halachic idea of the chavura of people eating, the kind of eating fellowship and what that means, where there's an idea in halacha that if people eat together, then in the Gemara, it's that they have to actually recline together. Remember that? Though we saw in Tosfot that once people don't recline anymore, we're not expecting that. They break bread together. They say explicitly, come, let's eat together in such and such a place. In so doing, Rashi's language is Lashon Hazmana. They're inviting each other to eat. People formally set up that they're eating together. That's a case in which one person can make the bracha of hamotzi for other people. And that's why even today at your Shabbos meal, one person is making a motzi for everybody. So we form this kind of eating fellowship. And the ideal is that it's running its way through the meal. That starting from Birkat HaMotzi through the meal, to Birkat HaMazon, we're bookending our eating with praise of God in a communal fashion. And in so doing, we're elevating the act of coming together to eat. Coming together to eat is not just social anymore. We're saying that our social experience is part of the broader religious aspect of our lives. It's a social religious experience. And that makes things a little different. Now, that first bracha of Hamotzi is communal in a certain sense because one person's making it for everybody. Birkat HaZimun is actually more fundamentally communal. And we talked about that last time. We said that there are two major ways of looking at the function of Zimun. One function of Zimun, which literally means convocation, one function of the Zimun at the beginning of Birkat HaMazon is to invite everybody to come together to bless God. And one function of Birkat HaZimun is actually to transform the act of reciting Birkat HaMazon into a communal Birkat HaMazon. In some ways, this is analogous to the way Tefillah B'Tzibur works. When we say Tefillot individually, we're saying it, I'm saying Shemoneh Esrei on my own, I'm saying it on my own. I'm saying it in a room with my husband, we're saying it on our own together. We get to a minyan, which these days is not too easy for us to accomplish. We get to a minyan, there's Tefillah B'Tzibur, that public prayer, that prayer in the context of the minyan has an entirely different character. It's no longer just the accumulated prayer of the individuals. It becomes prayer representing the entire Jewish people in microcosm, which is pretty lofty stuff. Now, when it comes to prayer, and in a second, we're going to get started with our sources. When it comes to prayer, we talk about there being a quorum of 10. When it comes to Zimun, however, there is a place for a quorum of 10. I'm hoping we'll talk about that next time when we finish up this topic. But the fundamental quorum for the Zimun is of 3. So let's look at that now. Before we get started with the sources, just to give you a quick sense of where we're going today, what I want to do today is to finish looking at the source of Zimun, the basic halachot of Zimun. And then I want to move on to looking specifically at the question of an all-women's Zimun, women reciting Zimun with each other, for each other. And I also want to address the question of how a man's presence does or does not affect that. And along the way, we're also going to look at what a woman's, how a woman is affected or what her reaction has to be, what her obligations are when she's eating a meal and there's a male Zimun. Okay, so it's a lot to do, and let's get going. Okay, let's hope this screen share goes smoothly. Dun-dun-dun. Yes, okay, here we are. Let's get started. Let's get you to a place where you can see things. Okay, is my cursor here? Yeah, okay. I wanna start with the Gemara that talks about how we know that there are 3 for Zimun. Okay, which also connects nicely to what we were talking about as the main functions of Zimun. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught in a Braita. Minayin lepak lebirkat hamazon mina Torah. I'm sorry, this isn't, I meant to do the next Gemara. Excuse me, let's go down. That's a Gemara, the one I was just starting to read. It's a Gemara that actually derives the mitzvah of Zimun from the same pasuk from which we learn the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon. We say, V'achata v'svatu v'erachta et Hashem Elokecha. The Gemara, one opinion in this Gemara actually suggests that et Hashem Elokecha refers to Zimun, which is very interesting. And there actually is a debate. I didn't mention it. There is a debate about whether Zimun itself is a Torah level obligation like Birkat HaMazon, or if it's rabbinic. But this is the Gemara I had in mind to look at with you. Sorry, I got a little confused there. Starts with the Mishnah. Shlosha she'achlu kachat chayavin lezamen. 3 people. It doesn't specify who those people are yet, right? 3 people who ate together as one, chayavin lezamen, are obligated in Zimun. This is important. This is not an option. Once people have eaten together, broken bread together, it's not just that they, generally speaking, that we say they can recite Zimun. Usually, and we're going to have to define this better, especially when it comes to women, usually we say they're obligated to recite Zimun. Okay, the expectation is that they're going to come together to praise God in that way. And by the way, that's the case even if they didn't manage to say Hamotzi together at the beginning of the meal. In fact, even if they just finish the meal together, that's going to count to obligate them to say Zimun. Okay, but why the number 3? Gemara, mina hanimili, where do these words come from? Amar vasi, the Amar kra, the pasuk says, gadlu la shemiti un ramamash mo yachta. glorify or exalt, give greatness to God with me, and we will exalt his name together. Rabbi Abba Amar Mehacha, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra V'Godel Elokeinu. When I call out God's name, bring greatness to God. So what do these verses have in common? They're both talking about greatness to God. How did we get the number three? Look closely. In both cases, there's one speaker who's addressing a plural group of people. Gadlu Lashem Iti. Praise God, you, plural group, et, with me. Me, one, the smallest amount to make a plural group, two. One plus two, three, right? Same thing with Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out God's name. Havu, plural, you, at least two of you, makes three. Give greatness to God. Also, just a little nice note. A few different later authorities point out that you actually can see an echo of the purpose of Zimlun in these two verses. We're going to exalt his name together, might be emphasizing the idea that Zimlun transforms Birkat HaMazon into communal Birkat HaMazon. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. I'm going to call out God's name and you will respond giving him greatness. Might be emphasizing the invitation to bless God together, okay? So those two psukim might each be emphasizing different aspects of what Zimun is. Okay, now we understand why it's three. And now what we need to understand is what more of the halachic implications are. So we already said that when three eat together, they have to say Zimun. And this is taken so strongly in the Mishnah that we say that three who ate as one are not permitted to separate. Shlosha shachlu kechad einan reshayin lechalik. V'chein arba chein chamisha, shisha nechlekin. If you have three people to eat together, they can't just opt out of Zimun. They are stuck saying Birkat HaMazon together. Now, halacha is, let's say two of them finished eating and one of them still eating. He doesn't have to finish eating with them. He can take a break, answer to their Zimun. He has to listen through at least the end of the first bracha. And then he can go back and he can finish eating his meal. But they're not allowed to split up. Why can six split up? Why should six people be able to split up? Because then they can still fulfill their obligation Zimun, right? Because six splits up neatly into two groups of three. So in that case, you could split up. Seven, you could split up. Eight, you could split up. Nine, you could split up. 10, not so simple. And we'll get to that, like I said, in another time. Okay. And we're going to skip over here. I have a different Rishonim explaining this, that it doesn't take a lot to say that people are obligated to have Zimun together. I think part of the reason might actually connect to what we were saying about Hamotzi and the conditions for making a communal Motzi. When we talked about the conditions for making a communal Motzi, one of the things we mentioned was that they were inviting each other to eat together. Zimun is inherently an invitation. So that even if people haven't actually formally reclined together, there's an element of what's needed to define the group as a chavura already inherent in the function of the zimun. Okay, let's talk about the obligation of women. Hold on, I'm going to move this up a little higher on the page so it's easier for me to read and open up the screen share. Here you go. Okay, this is a Gemara in Archin, very important. Pay close attention. Hakol chayavin b'zimun. Okay, everyone is obligated in Zimun. This is a Braita. Everyone, words from the Tanaitic sages from the time of the Mishnah. Everyone is obligated in Zimun. Le'atuye mai. Whom are we bringing in here? Why do we have to make this statement that everyone is obligated? We're not going to go out of our way to say everyone is obligated unless we would have thought that someone would have been excluded. Latuye nashim va'avadim. The language of everyone is making it clear that we're including in the obligation of Zimun women and badsmen. Okay, right now I'm reading according to the simple reading of the text. Detanya, for we learn in a braita, nashim mezamnot le'atzman, va'avadim mezamnin le'atzman. Indeed, we have a braita that says women recite their own Zimun. And bondsmen recite their own Zimun. Why are women and bondsmen grouped together? As usual, because they share an exemption from positive time-bound mitzvot. And often the mitzvah obligations are similar. So what's going on here? We have a statement that everyone is obligated in Zimun, that women are included in the everyone, and that's being backed up by another statement saying that women recite their own Zimun. Now, if I were just reading this text in a straightforward way, it sounds like what we're saying is women are obligated to recite their own Zimun, right? If we're saying everyone's obligated in Zimun, that brings in women. Women recite their own Zimun. And the women recite their own Zimun is being introduced by the words Ditanya, for we learn in a Braita, as though that's a proof text for the idea that everyone's obligated. Putting the pieces together, the most straightforward way, women are obligated in Zimun. That's a simple reading of the text. And I'm not the first person to suggest a simple reading of this text. Come look at the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher. The Nirali, Hayar De'erchen, Al-Korcha L'chiyuvahu. And it seems to me this statement in the Gemara that we just read must be talking about obligation. D'mar bilahu. That's why women are being included. Midikatani ha-kol chayavin, because it starts off by saying everyone's obligated. The ode, furthermore, kevan denashim chayavot bevirkat hamazon, o midoraita o midrabanan, since women are obligated in birkat hamazon, either on a rabbinic or Torah level, lama lo yitchayvu bezimun kamo anashim. Rush doesn't even understand why you would think that women wouldn't be obligated in Zimun. If Zimun is about gathering people, inviting people to praise God together, and transforming your Birkat HaMazon into a communal enterprise when you've eaten together, and women are obligated in Birkat HaMazon, and women eat together, why shouldn't women be included? Rush doesn't see any logic to saying that women shouldn't be included. Seems very straightforward and very clean. And in fact, he says it's halacha in its tzakim, in its halachic ruling, in the presi, the summary of his halachic rulings. Nashim mezamnim latzman, v'chayvot b'chach. Women recite their own zimun, and they're obligated in it. And he goes on, he says, bondsmen also do it. Avadim mezamnim latzman. Ein nashim, this is interesting, ein nashim v'avadim mitzterfim. Women and bondsmen don't say Zimun together. We'll come back to that. Okay? And now Rush, there's something added here that's very interesting. The tema, Shelo nagu anashim achshav lezamen. Well, there's something a little puzzling, which is on the one hand, it's crystal clear to Rush that women are obligated to say Zimun, to obligated to make Zimun. And yet, Rush is honest. The women of his day are not doing it. And he's not quite sure what to do with that. The straightforward, clear meaning of the text to him, he has no question, is that women have an obligation. The reality around him is that women are not doing it. Now, the Rosh is not the only one who says that women are completely obligated in Zimun. Rabbeinu Yonah, Nirela Maria Rav Natra Rachmano Parkei, Shechayavot Hen LeZimun. Women are obligated. Seems that they are obligated to recite Zimun. Sefer Rokeach. Nashim v'avadim mezamnim la'atzman chayavim b'zimun. Women are obligated in zimun. The Rambam, a simple reading of the Rambam, also lines up with this. Look at what the Rambam says. Nashim v'avadim uktanim e mezamnin alayhen, avam mezamnim la'atzman. A man does not join, and we're going to get back to that topic at another time. A man does not join or combine with women to create a zimun of three, but women recite their own zimun, says the Rambam. Rambam already is giving away the reason. Why aren't women saying Zimun with bondsmen? By the way, that's not the reason he gives for women and men. We'll come back to that. Why are women not saying Zimun combining with bondsmen to recite a Zimun as a group of three? We're concerned in terms of modesty. Aval, Nashim mezamnot latzman. Women recite Zimun for themselves. A simple read of Rambam is, women are obligated to recite Zimun Latzman. Okay, so we have this long list of early halachic authorities who are reading the Gemara in a very straightforward way and concluding from that straightforward reading that women are fully obligated in Zimun among themselves. No, that's not the end of the story. And the story becomes complicated. And here's what's interesting. This is one of these situations where we have to talk a little bit about the chicken and the egg. The story is complicated, exactly what the Rush brought up. The Rush brought up that notwithstanding how clear the halacha is to him, it's not what's being done. Now, if this isn't what's being done, and you're a classic halachic authority, the thing that you're going to try to do is to defend common practice. You're not going to want to say that your mother, your wife, your sister, your grandmother, your daughter are all violating halacha. You're going to want to try to say that your mother and your grandmother and great-grandmother are acting in a way that's consistent with halacha. To do that, you're going to need to look back at the sources and see if you can find a defense for it. So this is more or less, and we'll see from within the language of Tosfot, we'll see that this is the case. This is more or less the position that the Tosfot are in. The Tosfot 2, and Rush, of course, is a late Tosafist. The Tosfot 2 are struggling with the fact that women of their day are not reciting Zimun, even though women's obligation in Zimun seems pretty straightforward from the text. And they have to explain it. Now, the first step to explaining it is to look back at the text of the Braita, at the end of the text of the Braita that we quoted earlier. So let's look back at this. Nashim mezamnot latzman. Women recite their own Zimun. Avadim mezamnim latzman. Bondsmen recite their own Zimun. Nashim vavadim uktanim im ratzu lezamen ein mezamnim. Women, bondsmen, and minors, if they wanted to combine to create a Zimun, they can't. Now, Tosfot notice very carefully the words here, imratsu, if they wanted. If they wanted suggests that we're not talking here in the world just of obligation or prohibition, but we're talking also in the world of options, what you want, what you don't want to do. If the end of the Braita is talking about options as opposed to obligations, perhaps the beginning of the Braita, the one that said, seems to say very clearly that women recite Zimun and are obligated to, maybe it actually also means if they want to. So this is the argument the Tosfot are going to make. Come, let's look. Vikasha amai lo nagu. Again, Tosfot are getting off the ground based on the fact that the women around them are not saying Zimun. This is difficult. Why are women not saying Zimun? They start out their comments by pointing out what we've seen already. Seems like women for sure should be reciting Zimun. It's difficult. Why not? Mirkatani mezamnot mashma dekaamar chayavot lezamen. The language of women recite Zimun really strongly implies that women are obligated to recite Zimun. V'yesh lamar, here's how we can answer. Dinashim mezamnot la'atzman haynu imratzu lezamen mezamnot. It could be that really we're saying this is an option for women. Women can recite Zimun for themselves. V'chein mashma tzat halashon midekatani besamuch. And this is a little bit the implication of the language of what we see later where it talks about imratzu. Now, what about the Gemara that we saw that seemed to say women are obligated? When it says in the Gemara that everyone's obligated in Zimun and that includes Nashim, that means that everyone's obligated in Zimun and this includes women having an option to recite it. Not a crystal clear read, right? So our read of the Gemara was everyone's obligated in Zimun, this includes women, based on the Braita, who are obligated in Zimun. And Tosfot are suggesting everyone's obligated in Zimun. This includes women having an option to recite it based on the Braita that says that they have an option to recite it. Not the smoothest read, but they're pushed into a corner. Again, they say it straight out. They need to justify what the behavior is of the women around them. So a way you can justify it is by reading the Gemara as talking about possibilities and not talking about obligations. So far, what have we got? So far, we've got the Rosh and a whole slew of Rishonim, early halachic authorities, saying women are fully obligated to recite Zimun. Three women eating together must make Zimun. It's not an option, Zimun, generally speaking. And here we have the Tosfot introducing the possibility that it's, in fact, optional. Three women eat together, they can recite Zimun, but they don't have to. You'll notice that there's one position we have not seen, And in fact, I'm not aware of someone in early halachic authorities who would say such a thing, because it would be even more difficult with the Gemara, which is that women can't recite Zimun. That doesn't show up. It's either women must recite Zimun, or it's that women can recite Zimun. Okay. Now, the reading we wound up with in the Gemara was still not super clear. It was a little bumpy. And the Smag, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, the Sar of Kutzi, comes in and gives us a little help in trying to understand what's going on. Nashim is not latzman, kedar gesin and beperek kama darachin, akol chayavim bezimun latuye nashim, vavadim titanya, nashim is not latzman, vadim latzman. So far, quoting the Gemara. V'teima, debarei shlosh ashaklu masik din nashim is not latzman reshut. Hold on. We wound up concluding that in fact women reciting Zimun is optional. The Omeri, and now he's quoting a Tosafist, a major Tosafist, Rav Yitzchak of Dampier, de la Atzman davka reshut, specifically when they eat, when women eat by themselves, it's optional. Avak she'ochlin im ha'anashim chayavot. But when women eat with men, a zimun of men, three men, they're obligated then in zimun, the yotzot bezimun shelanu, and they discharge their obligation of zimun with the men's zimun. The en mevarchot latzman, and in that case, they should not be reciting birkan hamazon by themselves. They need to hear zimun. Upa'amim haya omer ri l'nashim shelo levarech, the yotzot bezimun anashim, and there were many times, apparently, that ri had to tell women, don't make Birkat HaMazon quietly. You got to wait and hear Zimun. So back to the Gemara in Archin. The straightforward reading was, everyone's obligated in Zimun, includes women. They're obligated, just like it says, women recite Zimun for themselves. Tosfot suggests, everyone's obligated in Zimun, includes women, saying that it's optional for women. That was a little bumpy. The Re kind of splits the difference. He says, everyone's obligated in Zimun, includes women who are obligated in Zimun when a woman eats with three or more men. Then the obligation of Zimun also falls on the woman eating with that Zimun of men. But if women eat alone, Nashim Zamnot La'atzman, understood as women have the option of reciting Zimun. Wow. Now, this actually winds up being widely accepted lahalacha, that when women eat with three men, women are supposed to, we're not obligated to hear Zimun. Shulchan Aruch, Nashim Mezamnot Latzman Reshut, women reciting Zimun for themselves is a matter of Reshut. It's something they can opt into. Avak She'ochlot Im Ha'anashim, but when women eat with men, who form a zimun, chayavot, they're obligated, v'yotzot b'zimun shelanu, and they discharge that obligation through the men's zimun. Okay, now just for the record, there are still other authorities, for example, the Gra, who rules like Rosh. Why should this be our reading? Mishnah Berurah suggests an answer, and it's not so far from what we've been saying all along. Yesh lomar hatam de lo ratzu chachamim latil aleihem chiyuv bebirkat hazimun. We could say that the reason that our sages didn't want to say that women are obligated in Zimun, he's clearly taking the position that the obligation in Zimun is rabbinic. If the obligation in Zimun is rabbinic, so then our sages are in a position to determine who falls under the obligation and who does not. So Mishnah Berurah is saying the reason that Chazal decided that this rabbinic obligation of Zimun would not fall on a group of women eating alone is why, when they're eating alone, because it's not found so often that women are expert in reciting Zimun. He's basically saying, look, it's a matter of literacy. It wouldn't have been right to say that women would be obligated to say Zimun if women didn't know how. Now there's something compelling to this because it's quite, you could quite easily imagine a situation in which women wouldn't be taught to say Zimun. There's something a little difficult about this, which is that the text of Zimun is not particularly long. It's not super complicated. It seems like it would be plausible to figure out a way to teach women to do it if one were determined to do it or understood Zimun among women as being obligatory. So it's not a completely simple answer. On the other hand, there's a little bit of something today that I think helps back him up, which is that, and we're going to come back to this, women nowadays eating on their own often don't recite their own Zimun. Now, there are a lot of different potential reasons for that. But I do think that one contributing factor is that women often don't feel that they know how or haven't been taught. And that's even women who know how to read Hebrew and are used to answering Amen Zimun might not feel confident in proceeding with the ritual on their own. And that's probably a contributing factor why women don't always say Zimun. Now, Aruch HaShulchan also, Lo Shamanu Me'olam Tenashim Yizamnu La'atzman. So you have, on the one hand, you have Gras saying women have to do it. On the other hand, you have Aruch HaShulchan saying, we never heard that women did it. Ben Ish Chai, interesting. Ben Ish Chai here is actually very important. Why? Because sometimes people might want to suggest, well, maybe it's an Ashkenazi thing. Well, first of all, we saw the Rambam. Seems like Pshat in the Rambam is that women are obligated. Secondly, we saw the Rosh. Rosh is kind of half and half, half Ashkenazi, half Sephardi in terms of his life story. But here in the Ben Ish Chai, Ra'ui, he's, you know, Iraqi, pretty solidly leading Sephardi rabbi. Ra'ui shekol adam yelamed linshei bnei beito shiu mezamnot latzman shehem ochlim v'shlosha. It is fitting that every man teach the women of his family, of his household, to know how to say Zimun when they're sitting alone. So in other words, if Mishnah Berurah is saying, because women didn't know how to do it, Chazal didn't force the obligation on them, the Ben Ish Chai is saying, okay, but even if it's not strictly speaking obligatory, it's fitting. The right thing to do is to teach women how to do it. So women should do it. Okay, well, so far, we're left with a picture that would suggest pretty strongly that women should be saying Zimun when we have a chance. I mean, generally speaking, when we have an obligation that's a question between being fully obligatory and just an option, when both of those possibilities are supported well among halachic authorities, we would err on the side of doing it. So it becomes a little surprising, maybe, that women still don't do it, except for what we've been seeing in these sources, which is really the force of minhag, which itself has had kind of an important effect on how we've understood what the nature of the obligation or what the nature of women's relationship to it is. So we have a little bit of a chicken and egg going on. Tosfot, remember, say explicitly that they're driven in their understanding of the Gemara by the fact that the women around them are not saying Zimun and they need to be melamed zchut. They need to judge them favorably and explain it. But that optional explanation becomes entrenched in halacha, where if the matter that really determines whether or not women are doing this is fundamentally, are women being encouraged to do it? Are women being taught to do it? It winds up becoming a minhag, as it were, for women not to do it. Whereas on strictly halachic terms, it's possibly a full obligation. It's really not easy that we got there. Well, here's another thing that gets a little complicated. So really, what about the case where you have three women and you have two men? So mixing together to form a Zimun, I'm hoping to talk about next week. It's its own topic. But I want to talk about here, let's say it's absolutely clear. We're taking for granted that halacha is going to say that three women can't mix with the two men to create a Zimun. We know that if the situation were reversed, if there were three men and two women, we've learned that those women would be fully obligated to hear the men's Zimun. What's going to happen now at the table with the three women and the two men? Now, we don't have any comparable text saying that men are obligated to hear the women's Zimun. And it's also, this is a place where what we've talked about before, different levels of obligation, Birkat HaMazon, become relevant into play. But here I wanted to show you, it's really kind of interesting too, but this is by Rav Moshe Sternbuch. And he wants to suggest that, you know, if men are around, women shouldn't be saying Zimun. Okay, he's a very he's a Haredi Rav. He says like this, Nirele Aniya Dati, Mitzadid. The Afudat Agra de Nashima Varchot Latzman Chova, even according to the opinion of the Gra, who says that women are obligated to recite their own Zimun. Hainuk Shein Latzman, that's only when they're really on their own, Klomar She'ina Nashim Imahim, meaning no men are there. Avak Shehem Imanashim, when they're with men, Hanashim Einan Chayavot B'Zimun, they're not obligated. He means when there are fewer than three men. And I was asked, well, okay, they're not obligated when they're on their own, but what if the women want to be machmir? Don't we usually praise chumra? They want to be maximally compliant with the different halachic positions. So there are a couple of men around, but they still want to fulfill the position of the gra, that there might be an obligation. What then? He says, we should be concerned about this and discourage it for a few reasons, he says. One, maybe it's spiritual self-aggrandizement. Talked about this a little bit with Tzitzit, right? Maybe it's a kind of showing off. The ode further, whoa. He's saying, basically, this isn't the common practice. Maybe this is even a violation or some element working against the Torah prohibition of forming distinct factions. There might even be here a concern of bracha levatala. That's very strong. Why? He has a whole theory. I didn't bring the whole thing here. He has a theory that in a situation in which men are not obligated in Zimun, could it really be possible that the women present would be obligated? Simple reading of our text is, well, if there are three women, yeah. And not three men, yeah. But Rav Sternberg isn't so sure. And he thinks maybe we have a bracha levatala here. So he's really coming down very hard on saying that women, not only do women not have to say Zimun on her own, but he's coming down hard saying that women with a man or two around should not say Zimun. It's off. And we also have Rav David Cohen of Flatbush, who's a prominent American rabbi, who says as follows, there are two worlds, halacha and halacha l'maaseh. It is my halachic opinion that women's minyanim and the like are prohibited by the Torah because they're consequences of the feminist movement. He's lumping. It's interesting. It's important to see how issues get put together. So far, the Zimun or a woman's Zimun on their own has actually, you know, it's rooted in Tanaitic sources. It's rooted in the Gemara. It's rooted in Rishonim. And yet it's being thrown together with women's tefillah, which is its own halachic topic, but he views it as similarly a consequence of feminism or related to it. Let's see what he says, really, his own words, more precise. I would not answer even as an outsider in front of the women. He's not saying the women can't make Zimun in front of him, but he's saying, I wouldn't answer them. I keep my mouth shut. They can say it, but I'm not saying a word. They can praise God in front of me. I've eaten a meal too, but I can't say anything since this could be construed as giving assent to feminist actions that I find objectionable. So Rav Cohen is saying, in the context of our world, where from his perspective, feminism is a deep threat to halacha and to halachic observance, in that context, Zimun for women is something he finds objectionable when men are around, not prohibited, but objectionable. And therefore also, even though one might say that he should respond to the women, he would not. That's very strong. Now, these are very important Rabbanim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was also a very important Rav. A great posek who went kind of across sectors, and he had a different perspective on this issue. And his perspective is recorded in the book Halichot Beta, prepared by his nephew, Rav David Auerbach. What's interesting is that part of what he writes is in the text and part of it's in the footnotes, but he writes it in the name of his uncle in this particular topic. It says like this, Shalosh nashim shachlu biyachad im ish echad o shnayim. Three women who eat together with one or two men. Nachon shachat mehen tevarech birkat hazimun velo ha'ish. It is correct that one of them should say birkat hazimun and not the man. Did you catch that? There might have been a thought that he's not saying that the women wouldn't say Zimun in this case. He's saying there might have been a thought that since men often take the ritual lead when there's a group of men and women together, that if the three women eat with one man, a man should lead them in Zimun, even though he wouldn't actually discharge his own obligation in Zimun. That's interesting. Midodi Agon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Shlita Shamati, from my uncle Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I heard. De'im ha'nashim b'ki'ot l'zamen be'atzman, hare ein nachon l'chachila lo'tzia ish, mishu baki l'varech be'atzmo ha'nashim. Then in that case, if women are actually expert in saying Zimun on their own, it's not correct for the man to help them with Zimun. So what he's actually saying is like this. If you're three women eating together, bread together, and there are one or two men at the table, you might have thought that one of the men should lead them. Doesn't need to lead them. Not only that, if the women are really competent and they can say Zimun for themselves, he absolutely should not lead them. Aval nireh pashut shegam ha'ish af al pi she'ein alav chovat zimun. But it's simple that even the man, even though when there are only three women there, he's not obligated in Zimun. Kachnarele, mikol makom, kachnarele el, as we said above, in any case, yachol la'anot achrayen, he can respond to them. V'chen shamati midodi agon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. At the same time, the man's not leading the Zimun, the three women are there, one or two men, the man can answer. Why can the men answer? For the same reason that if someone's sitting at the table and they're not obligated in Birkat HaMazon, but they ate, let's say, mazonos, they can answer. Why can they answer? Because they ate food, and it's an opportunity to respond to people praising God for the food that they all ate. He's not actually discharging an obligation in Zimun. The women's Birkat HaMazon and Zimun is independent of him. And yet, even though that's the case, he can still respond because it's a response to Hashem. It's an opportunity to praise Hashem, even though it's not really the case that he is part or a full participant in the Zimun. This is distinct, and it's interesting. It's distinct from the situation of three men with two women. The situation of three men with women around is that women are obligated in that Zimun, according to everybody, or at least according to Psak Halacha nowadays. And in that case, when the man is reciting Zimun, the women answering are fully a part of that Zimun, and that communal Birkat HaMazon is one in which the women are participating as well. This is a little different. Here, the man is not answering as a full participant in Zimun, but he is answering as someone who has a stake in praising God. Okay. I should mention that there is an opinion of the Ritva. It is not followed lahalacha, but there is an opinion of the Ritva that because of the connection between obligation of Birkat HaMazon and Zimun, that if a woman is eating together with a Zimun of three men, she could potentially lead that Zimun, because she's obligated in it. And in his view, women are obligated on a Torah level in Birkat HaMazon. The only reason a woman wouldn't be able to lead that Zimun would be not sharing the same level of obligation. So from his perspective, a woman could do that. But that view is rejected, among others, by the Kaf HaChaim. Okay, one more quick issue before I pick it up with questions. Back to this issue of women with three men at the table. Women and three men at the table happens a lot. It happens actually relatively frequently. I'll give you a following scenario. You're at Suda Shlishit with a group, maybe three families are eating together Suda Shlishit. Could happen, right? Three families eating together Suda Shlishit. It's time for Maariv. The women are going to stay home and the men are going to shul. The men are making a Zimun. Do the men take care to make sure that the women are all at the table when they're making the Zimun? Do they wait to make sure that they're accommodating all the women? Do they tell all the women that they're making a Zimun? Or do they just sort of slip in their Zimun before they go? So actually, you know, ma'aseh b'chol yom, I think it happens very frequently that in that kind of situation, the men are not necessarily particularly aware of the woman's obligation in Zimun. But as we've seen, the woman is fully obligated in Zimun in a situation when she breaks bread together with a group of three men who themselves are making Zimun. A woman is obligated to participate in that, even if she can't lead it. And even if she couldn't combine with two men to create a Zimun of three. Igra Moshe talks about this a little bit, and he's also Melamed Zchut. He says, look, we can be Melamed Zchut because sometimes it can be hard. Let me read it inside just because it's so interesting. Let's say women eat with three men. Do women really have to be very careful and make sure they don't leave the table early? Right? That's another example. Happens all the time. Woman's nursing. I'm sorry, I'm going to leave the table now, bench without me. She didn't hear Zimun. Does she really have to, did she really do something wrong? This could be kind of burdensome. They are obligated to answer. The women in the situation must answer. Kim Farash, as it says it straight out. Shulchan Aruch, we read that together. Aval, b'chol, but you know, on a usual work weekday, shaleika, b'rov hamkomot suda kvua, l'chol kulam biyachad. On a weekday, is everyone really eating in a fixed manner together? V'hitruda v'asiyata ochlin hagashatan l'shulchan l'chol echad. And she's up and about during the meal anyway. One minute she's bringing this, another minute she's bringing that. Is she really sitting down b'kviut? Is she really establishing herself as part of the eating chavura together with everyone there to be obligated in Zimun? He's not so sure. In kavanata l'shev l'chol biyachad. He's not so sure. He thinks there's a lot of cases in which really the woman from the start wasn't really planning to be kova'at suuda, to really form an established part of a meal together with the men. She's up and about, she's in and out. That happens in a lot of the cases where in which a woman might be considering leaving early before benching happens. Kol shekein she'esh la yeladim ktanim shematridin ota, much more so when she's got little kids pulling at her skirts. Ve'en la p'nai likboach yilata afilu bifnei atzman. She, with difficulty, can even eat on her own. The kol shekein shelo yimacharim. She can't even eat on her own. How much more so she can't really sit down probably with others. B'chol shekol echad memeher b'achilato. She'im kein alo shaych haklal achilatan. This is on a weekday when everyone's in a hurry anyway, and it just doesn't really matter. She's not fully related to everybody, to that meal. U'mizenim shach she'afim ira lifamim shegam ha'isha yala p'nai lecho b'kviyut lo hurgulu l'anashim lanot zimun. And this is how women got in the habit of not responding to Zimun. But you'll notice he keeps coming back to a weekday. Why does he keep coming back to the situation of a weekday? Because it's a lot harder to make this argument on Shabbos. In a weekday, given how frequent it is that people don't really sit down and focus on a meal together, but in fact are running from one thing to the next, and they fully expect that they're not going to finish eating together. Maybe they're overlapping by a few minutes, or she's fully expecting that she's going to have to nurse within 2 minutes. There it might be more difficult to say that, in fact, she really has to answer the Zimun, and the men have to make sure that it's available for her. On Shabbos, that's a little harder to say, because in Shabbos, we really do try to sit down for a fixed meal together. Based on what the Igros Moshe is saying here, and the basic halacha, it's an effort that, at least on Shabbos, it's an effort that really we should make, that when there's a Zimun of men at the table, the women should really be responding to that Zimun. And that's an effort that both the men and the women have to make. The men have to make the effort to be conscious that when they're doing the Zimun, the women are available or around, if they can. And the women have to make the effort to be available and attentive and responsive when that happens. So it's not always easy to do. There is the Shevet HaLevi is Melamed Zchut. The Shevet HaLevi in particular is a chassid. So he has to explain how the men can go off to the tish and leave the women at the table. Happens a lot, right? So you can come up with a halachic justification of why it's okay. You really can. And at the same time, there's a lot to be said halachically for everyone at the table being conscious of women at the table for a men's zimun when there's a men's zimun present. And that's something very important to know, not just the issue of women making zimun for themselves. Because the side effect, the corollary of the reading that women making zimun for themselves might be only optional, is to say that women hearing the men's zimun is in fact obligatory. Okay, and on that note, just one other thing that's kind of interesting that derives from this. Let's say you have a situation like this. There's three men at the table, and there's three women at the table. Do the women have to listen to the men's zimun in that case? Or can the women form their own zimun? And here, the Alta Zaken, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alta Rebbe, says like this. Nashim ha'ochlot im gimel anashim shechayavim lezamin, chayavot gam him lezamin imahim. Women who eat with three men are obligated to eat. They also have to make zimun with them. Im him shalosh, if there are three women, v'ratzu lechalek lezamin latzman, and they want to split off to make their own zimun, harishut bi'adam im anashim im pachot miyud. As long as there are fewer than 10 men there, it's 100%, according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it is fully permissible for women to form their own zimun when there's a group of 3 to 9 men making a zimun. It's not violating halacha, in his opinion. Why? This is an application of the halacha that we saw earlier. Remember earlier we talked about when a group of people can split up or not split up? And we said if there were between six and nine, that they could split up. So he's saying, well, when there are women present, the numbers really become 9 and 12, right? If there are three, or 6 and 12, if there are three women present and there are three men present, the women became obligated in Zimun. But if they have a way to fulfill that obligation with other women, they can. And in fact, Mishnah Berurah Nishar Tziyun actually says that the women reciting that Zimun are reciting it 100% as a matter of obligation, which is very interesting. In other words, we said that women reciting their own zimun might be obligatory or it might be optional. And what the Mishnah Berurah says is, but if the women were sitting at a table with three men and then decided to split off into a group of three women, that's okay. And if women do that, they already became obligated in zimun. So that's a case in which the women's zimun on their own is actually, according to everybody, he suggests, obligatory. It's pretty interesting. Okay, we're going to stop here for now. We'll take questions. Next, let me do a quick recap. And then next week, Bezrat Hashem, there are two to three main topics I want to discuss. One thing we need to discuss is the text of Zimun when women are reciting it on their own. Another thing we need to discuss is men and women making Zimun together, how that does or does not work. And that's actually a little more complicated than what we've seen so far might suggest. And the third thing I'd like to discuss is Zimun with 10 people, with the quorum, with the minion, and how that might, and what that means, and also if in what way women could or could not participate in that. Okay, so that's what we're gonna go to. Quick recap of what we saw today. We went back over the basics. We talked about the source for Zimun being with three and the ability of people to split off and the fact that Zimun is generally considered to be obligatory with three, not an optional matter. We saw in the Gemara that a straightforward reading of the Gemara indicates that women are obligated in Zimun. And in fact, that's how the Rosh Paskins, along with other Rishonim. We also saw that Tosfot have a problem with that because they have to explain why the women are not reciting Zimun in their time. And they have a different interpretation they suggest for the Gemara, which is that women are, in fact, not obligated to recite Zimun, but have the option to recite Zimun. The Smug, Sefer Mitzvah Gedolah, comes in and he says, well, the Re explained how that works better with the language of the Gemara. Hakol chayavim lezamen, everyone's obligated to say Zimun. That refers really to everybody, including women, when there's a men's Zimun present. Nashim mezamnot latzman, women reciting their own Zimun, that was optional. We then saw that there are a couple of voices who would discourage women from reciting Zimun, at least when men are present, but that there are other important voices, including Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who said it's not an issue at all, and not only that, that men should answer them. By the way, that was also reportedly the position of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and many others. So women reciting Zimun on their own, even when a man or two men are present, has a strong halachic basis. Either three men present, then women are supposed to hear the men's zimun, unless, and this is the last point that we were getting to, which was pretty interesting, unless there are three women and 3 to 9 men, in which case those women have the option of breaking off and making their own zimun, which would still have the status of being obligatory. And the last point we mentioned was also in the men's zimun, if the women don't have their own zimun that they can make, then in that case, both the men and the women who are present should take care to make sure that the women have the opportunity to hear and respond to the zimun. All right, let's take some questions.
Okay, are you putting me to work?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll start here. I'm going to start with the question on Ketanim, and I'm going to expand on it. Judy's question. Basically, all you talk about is women. What about minor, like children? And I want to expand on it. As many as those who learn Gemara know that women are often categorized, nashim, avadim, uktanim. Women are often categorized with slaves and young children in terms of the same halacha. You have the same discussion by women aliyot, that because of kavod hatzibur, we don't give. And somehow the discussion of today always only revolves around women. You never hear a discussion about kids. So I guess it's the same thing. You want to, you know, the ketanim in zimun.
So to my knowledge, there is no din of ketanim. Ketanim don't make a zimun. It's not considered to be an option for them. There is a little bit of discussion of whether in a pressing situation a katan could count towards a zimun, especially a zimun of 10. That does get discussed. But there isn't, to my knowledge, a comparable law of ketanim making zimun on their all. And if you think about it, just like Rabbi Jay said, we saw in the sources, they were talking about women reciting their own zimun. They talked about bondsmen reciting their own zimun, but they weren't talking about minors reciting their own zimun.
That would probably be, see, interesting. I would say, see, there's a distinction between, let's say, aliyot and zimun. Zimun is already mitzvah min hatorah, as we're basically playing. Berchan hamazon and min hatorah. Aliyot, the whole...
Berchan hamazon is min hatorah. Zimun might be drabanan, but it's a little different because Kriyas haTorah isn't necessary. The person reading, it's. I hope to teach Kriyas haTorah moving forward. Kriyas haTorah isn't necessary. The person reading the Torah isn't necessarily exactly performing a mitzvah so much as facilitating a mitzvah, which is a whole interesting ball of wax. But the person reciting Zimun is definitely performing a mitzvah.
Right, and the person getting the aliyah are for sure rabbinic in nature, and therefore the rabbi said, in theory, women and minor children can get aliyah, and then they banned it because of kavod hatzibur. And the question is, what about today? I'll tell an interesting story. When our family was on sabbatical, when I was 9 years old in Israel, so I remember we used to often go to a minyan on Friday night, and the minhag was little children used to daven Kabbalah Shabbos. They, you know, wanted nine. I was nine at the time, and often, you know, they would want to train kids. You know, it's a beautiful idea, and that was the minhag, of course, because Kabbalah Shabbos was invented in the 1600s, so in 1500s. So what's the big deal? You can have anybody daven it, and then I heard one of the rabbis talking about that the woman, he used to have this minhag in his shul too, and then a lot of the women complained. If you can allow children, then you should allow the woman to daven. So what ended up happening is they only allowed older men to daven. That's just sort of an interesting thing, because there the halach is the same, the men and minor children and women, and yet somehow, just like sociologically, we make a huge distinction. Okay. Anyways,
as I'm remembering, I think there might be a little bit of discussion. No, I think it's with a major child. I don't think it's with a child who's underage that's discussed of him leading Zimun.
Okay, Susanna pointing out, which is true, I think on a lot of things, there are sociological women. The reason women didn't bench and didn't daven and didn't do all kinds of things are very often more sociological, and they're, you know, that forces a particular reading in the text or.
I would add that, look, Tosfot wouldn't have said it if it wouldn't be a plausible reading in the text. And they're doing it because they're trying to defend women. They're trying to explain why what the grandmothers did was okay. They're not trying to make women look bad or in any way, God forbid, narrow women's horizons. They're trying to explain how it can be that the women around them are doing something okay and not reciting Zimun. That being said, we're in a really interesting situation now, because a lot of the barriers that might have made encouraging women to recite Zimun seem insurmountable to Tosfot are no longer in place. Now, women, thank God, so many Jewish women are now literate and have found their voices in many ways. And yes, even in, you know, and even more so in more from communities where there's so many activities that take place just among women. There's so many opportunities for women to be eating together with each other. It's not simple at all that this is not something that's being more encouraged. And I think what we saw from Rav David Cohen was very telling, which is that there's a sense there's an intuitive sense that people have that it smacks of feminism. And if one thinks of feminism as a bad word, it creates a lot of hesitation about supporting women making their own Zimun. That's there. And at the same time, I have to say, I think it's highly, highly unfortunate because the halacha really seems to be in this case so very clear. And I think it could potentially be a real opportunity. Like, for example, one of the nice things about the fact that a minor doesn't do it and an older person does it, when girls often talk about, well, what can I do when I become bat mitzvah, right? What distinguishes me from before bat mitzvah and after bat mitzvah? So the girl's not going to be leading davening in shul, generally speaking. She's not getting an aliyah, generally speaking. And this would be like a very concrete, real mitzvah that could be part of a girl's life upon her bat mitzvah. That could be very significant to her. She's eating lunch with her friends at school and she became bat mitzvah and she can lead them in Zimun and that transforms the Berakat HaMazon into something communal and with real ritual importance. I think that has such beautiful potential that it's something I personally struggle with. I respect the fact that that there's a sense that it would be changing custom in some communities, and I respect the fact that there are fine Rabbanim and fine women who would be greatly hesitant to do it. And yet it's hard that it's not happening.
It's only because it's a different world. It's a different social milieu. You're basically just pointing out halakha is not a pure science. It's an art. And there are often sociological factors really that go into how poskim will poskim. And I think it's pretty obvious in the world that we live in, obviously we're very comfortable with women do that in certain segments. You're right. It is a real attack on their tradition and they would perceive it as such. And for them, feminism is a dirty word. And in other circles, feminism is not a dirty word. So it's, the halakha, the halacha is existing in the real world in which you live. It's not just the abstract. And that's sort of Ellie's pointing out Tosfot. Of course, that's a well-known Tosfot always likes to justify minhagim that people do, even questionable, because we like to think that people are doing what's right. But yes, and different communities have different definitions, I guess, of what's right. Okay, I do point out, yes, women are educated, things should change. Zana pointing out, but still, there are people, it's hard for some women. Some women don't know, they haven't been trained. And even if they know how to read Hebrew, and even though they have a day school education, they may not know how to lead Zimun. I totally hear that. Okay, you can argue if it's complicated. Let's see. Zimun can be done in the vernacular. Oh, that's interesting. Ellen pointing out.
Wait, 1 second, just on Gershon's point. So reciting entire Birkat HaMazon is complicated, and you're right that would be the ideal of what the Mezamen would do. And the only thing is that as we've seen, it's universally agreed that women are obligated in Birkat HaMazon. The question is if the obligation is on a Torah level or rabbinic. So that women would need to know how to say Birkat HaMazon is being taken as a given. Whether or not women actually in all these societies were reciting Birkat HaMazon in full is a question. The Talmud itself brings a short version of Birkat HaMazon that's greatly simplified. And I believe that there are some records in some societies of shortened versions of Birkat HaMazon that were used specifically by women. I've also heard anecdotally about different people who had grandmothers or great grandmothers from very frum communities who apparently, as far as they knew, never recited Birkat HaMazon. So, all of these things can be complicated, but at least in theory, women are obligated to know the text of Birkat HaMazon. So that should not be adding to the complexity here.
I guess I don't think you stressed the point, you know, it's not commonly done, but the real way to do Zimun is the person who says, Berchan HaMazon says the whole thing out loud. As a matter of fact, the minhag used to be, was like a Chazaret Hashatz, that nobody benched, just the Mezamein benched. That was the old minhag. And everybody answered Amen. And it got too long, people don't pay attention. So the minhag developed, everybody says it individually. But then, but Rav Schachter, if you ever heard the Rav Schachter bench, he says mamash every word out loud. And I mean, nice and slowly. That was the old minhag. So that sort of adds a little complexity to it. You know, it's not just saying Rabotai or Gvirotai Nivarech. Right. We don't, it's not commonly done in our world, or maybe not correctly, whatever. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? Somebody suggests, I see somebody pointed out, yes, at weddings when the men go up to the, you know, to bench, and that's, it's a New York minhag. In Toronto, they don't do that. But the men all go up to the front for the benching, and the women are behind, just like they go to Davin Mari, but you discussed that already a few weeks ago.
As long as the women can hear it, it's okay.
No, but they're saying that they get upset at the woman. They're right. The woman want to come up and hear Berchan HaMazon and Shavu Brachas, and the men got all upset. But that's, again, that's not a halachic thing. That's a sad commentary. What can I say?
That's actually a little bit more difficult in that case, because when it's a minion, if it weren't a minion of men, so the women could make their own zimun. But if it's a minion of men, the women really aren't supposed to break off. So it's not completely simple. Now, to be Muhammad's list also, and this is something very common at weddings, for example, there can be times where people sit down and they eat and they do it intentionally from the beginning on condition that they don't intend, having in mind they don't intend to combine with other people to eat. Yeah. It's not even so clear how well that works. So you can come up with ways to justify things, but it's not easy to justify, though. Okay.
Lisa's question is very interesting. A guy has to leave early. He says to the cook, I got to leave. Answer my bench and you keep eating. What if the woman has to leave? Can the woman say, I got to leave. Let's bench quickly. And, so I can leave.
The fundamental halacha, it would seem that the fundamental halacha is that there should be room to do that. And yet it's not done. It gets back a little bit to Rav Moshe, who says, well, look, if it's a weekday thing, are they really setting and establishing a meal together? You can come up with ways to justify what we've been hearing again and again in today's topic, I guess, is you can come up with a lot of ways to justify what's commonly done. In theory, a woman should be able to say that, and if possible, the men should be able to accommodate her.
Yeah. Okay, Ellen pointing out really.
It depends on the numbers. I think when you make someone stop early and not, I think is also a matter of
generally. Even one guy will do it. When there are three guys sitting together, and one of them has to run out, so he'll bench or he'll bench. The other two will answer, right. And then they'll bench later. That's what's commonly done. The three men and three women, and the men leave. So then the three women, right, would probably have They would be the mezamnim. That's case.
But the men still can't. Well, the men are still not considered, according to most halachic authorities, to fulfill their halachic obligation in Zimun. Then, so what should they do? They're going to try to. The men would basically need to try to find another man somewhere who could.
Who could?
He's not the man. Wasn't supposed to ditch him, but the two men who are left. So the women who are left have a resolution. The two men who are left are stuck, and there are things they could try to do so that they don't get completely stuck. But yeah, not easy.
Can I ask a question?
Rev Zeb, go ahead.
Yeah, you said that if three women are eating with up to nine men, they can split off. Is that correct?
According to the Alter Rebbe, it's correct. So and the Mishnah Berurah seems to support that.
What's the problem with 10 men?
So 10 men is a different text of Zimun. 10 men is Zimun with Shem Hashem, which I'm hoping we're going to talk about next time. So if they split off, this is actually perfect lead into next week. If they split off three women, they're not going to be able to say Shem Hashem. And that would be, that's not something that's going to be condoned. Splitting off and forgoing the opportunity the same way that if there are 10 men eating together, or even let's say there are 13 men eating together, 13 men eating together, three men are not supposed to split off and make their own Zimun.
So 10 men
stay there for Zimun B'Shem.
So if you have 10 women and 10 men, they could split off and do it with Hashem Hashem.
All right. So I'm going to ask you to come back next week, and Bezrat Hashem will answer your question with the attention it deserves, because it deserves a real answer and not a quickie answer.
Okay, Thori, well, let's go 10:30 in Efrat. So thank you very much. We look forward to next week. Please, God, everybody, we all be-